Japan beat the Springboks at the 2015 Rugby World Cup in one of the most stunning upsets in the history of sport. And now the Boks are returning to the same venue to play the same opponent, and they'll be coached by the same man. In this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as I explore whether this is utter madness or if there is actually nothing to worry about. So, there have now been reports that South Africa and Japan will face each other in a rugby test match on the 1st of November. The test will be played in Brighton at the Brighton Community Stadium. It's also known as the Farmer Stadium. And for commercial purposes, it is called the American Express Stadium. When Brighton and Hove Albion play their English Premier League football matches there, commentators will often refer to it simply as the Amex. The most important detail about this match is the fact that it is taking place outside of the November test window. And that's what could spell potential danger for the Boks. The spectre of history repeating itself. Something no South African wants to see happening. Now you must forgive me for going here, but I feel for the purposes of this episode, I have to. It was the 19th of September 2015. South Africa were kicking off their Rugby World Cup campaign in Pool B against Japan, an opponent which, with all due respect, the Springboks would expect to beat every single time. Yes, the Japanese had improved over the years. In fact, they were even warned by teammates Farida Priya and Skalk Berger were the Boks that these guys can play the game and we should not take them lightly. Don't forget, in 1995, the Japanese were annihilated at the World Cup 145-17 by New Zealand in Bloemfontein. Well, the Cherry Blossoms had made massive strides since then. They even had the great Eddie Jones as their head coach. The Japanese domestic league also boasted several international superstars, i.e. Berger and Dupria. But despite all of these things, the South Africans would still expect to win. What came next was earth-shattering. Jones's men played the match of their lives. The former Wallabies coach came up with the perfect strategy. He knew his players couldn't compete physically with the Boks. So they tried to limit scrum time, and they tried to get out of a breakdown and maul situation as quickly as possible. Basically, they came to a 15s match and played 7s unless they absolutely had to compete up front, which, in their defense, they did with relative competence. With 20 minutes to go, the score, somewhat frighteningly, was 22-all. I remember watching and thinking, okay, this is not going the way we had hoped, but as long as we see this out and get out of there, we'll take the win and improve for the next match. People will moan and complain in the week leading up to our second pool match, but at least we would have won, and hopefully the Boks just get better as the tournament goes on. After all, we've seen the Springboks get themselves into a hole so many times before in the past, but drag themselves out of it, and then defend the lead, secure the win, and go home. Sure enough, Adrian Strauss scored a try that Andre Pollard converted, so 29-22. But then Ayumu Goromaru scored a try that he would convert himself, and we were back level. Pollard's 73rd minute penalty put us ahead 32-29. I felt that that would be the final score at the time. Far from pleased, as I said, but okay, fine, whatever. I was running a sports news website at the time and arranged for all my staff to watch the game together at the Boktown at Monte Cassino. We were all unimpressed. And I'm guessing if you were there, so were you. In fact, wherever you were, you probably were thoroughly unimpressed, but also nervous. And then came the earthquake moment. Japan won a penalty that Goromaru would have easily slotted to earn the draw. Instead, the brave Blossoms showed real bravery and went for the try. The ball made its way down to the left wing where Connor Hesketh barged over despite JP Peterson's best intentions. Japan had beaten us. Many have called it the greatest upset not only in rugby, but maybe even in all of sport. There was even a movie made about it. It was called The Miracle in Brighton. Now, let me just say a few things. The Japanese are improving all the time. And if they're going to go toe-to-toe with the big boys on a regular basis, as they are these days, then it is inevitable that they will eventually start beating those teams. It's just a shame they had to beat us as their first major scalp. So I don't want to be disrespectful towards them. Obviously, we didn't like it, but to them, it was not only well played, but also well deserved. And no doubt, an incredibly proud moment in their history. Not even the staunchest Springbok supporter can say that Japan did not deserve to win that day. And we saw how wonderfully well they performed at their own World Cup 4 years later. But by then, we had certainly become wise to their act. In a pre-Rugby World Cup match in Saitama, we defeated them 41-7, and in the tournament itself, we faced them in the quarterfinals in Tokyo. Many have accused us of having had an easy road to the final in 2019. Well, let me just stop you there. We had the All Blacks in our pool, which meant that defeat, which is what actually ended up taking place, would result in us having to win every one of our pool stage matches that remained, which meant that basically every game was a knockout game after that. Doesn't matter that two of them were against Namibia and Canada, there was pressure. That quarterfinal was against a host nation that had never played as well as they had coming into it. And then don't forget that in the semi-finals, we played a team that had beaten us 4 out of the last 5 times, and they were the reigning Six Nations champions. And of course, in the final, we were heavily underdogs. On top of that, England had beaten the All Blacks very comfortably in the semi-final the week before. So I don't want to hear that we had an easy run in 2019.
Pops up in a toy. Here comes Chosen Colby. Colby bounces towards the fence. Both run. Still going. Chosen Colby. Chosen Colby. South Africa. The World Cup is theirs.
So coming back to that Tokyo quarterfinal. Yes, we won the match eventually 26-3. It was a match which, let's be honest, the whole world was cheering against us to add to the pressure cooker environment. We were facing a host nation with their tails very much up, and even though it's a shame this match, the one on the 1st of November that's coming up, is taking place outside the test window, I still think we will be too strong for them. We have tremendous depth right now. It's 2025, it's not 2015. There was inconsistency those days. There was uneasiness in certain areas in those days. There was uncertainty in certain places in those days. That's not the case anymore. 2025, the Springboks, if you'll forgive the expression, are a very different animal. We really are now the envy of the world. And I think Dr. Russie Erasmus has built a squad environment where there is no complacency or incompetency either. Whoever plays in this test, and you can expect it to be mostly URC players, will not only know they're expected to perform, but will also see it as an opportunity to impress Doc, with an eye on getting a chance in the other November tests and or future matches. Don't forget, in 2026, we are hosting New Zealand. We're playing a 3-test match series at home against the All Blacks, and places will be up for grabs. And it is for that reason that I'm not concerned about us facing this team at the very same place where they handed us our most infamous defeat. The fact it's against the same team at the same venue and even the same coach should not be seen as eerie or tempting fate or any such thing. But what do you think? Do you agree we have nothing to fear, and as long as we go out there and perform professionally, we'll get the job done? Or do you think taking on Japan in Brighton with Eddie Jones as their coach is an accident waiting to happen? Let me know in the comment section down below. And while you're down there, may I also encourage you to sign up on my Patreon page. I would love to do this full-time, guys, and go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup in 2027 for you from Down Under with daily coverage. If you sign up, you can get your name mentioned in my videos, You can get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched merchandise store. You can stand a chance to win the new Springbok jersey. You can also stand a chance to win the soon-to-be-released James Small biography. You might also be able to have quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok players, matches, and tactics. And you might even be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US dollars, not Zim dollars. And if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then head on over to my Patreon page and sign up right now. And I'll see you next time.